Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mona. And I'll speak for everyone listening. Hey, Mona.
You know, following the recent increase in the minimum amount of investment here in the U.S. with EB-5, there's been a huge interest in investors seeking E-2 visas following the acquisition of treaty country citizenship by investment. That's actually nicknamed CBI.
Yeah, we spoke a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago. We just touched upon it, the episode number 95, when we talked about what's trending in EB-5, and we mentioned a little bit of this E-2 in Grenada. But I know today we're going to dive in deeper.
Yes, Mark. The interesting thing, which a lot of people don't really understand, yes, E-2 has become more popular, but not every country can do E-2. Mm-hmm. And we have brought this up in previous shows. We did have Christopher Ashby, who was on our show quite a few episodes ago. And we have discussed this, I think, in other episodes relating from E-2 to EB-5. For many countries, citizenship by investment is important because they would not otherwise have access to the E-2. And interestingly, there are 10 countries that offer citizenship by investment, but only 3 of those 10 countries have a bilateral investment treaty with the United States, enabling their citizens to actually apply for E-2.
And what are those 3 countries, Mona?
Those 3 are Grenada, Turkey, and Montenegro. There was a 4th country, Moldova, but that's recently suspended its citizenship by investment program.
Okay. So I assume since we've been talking about Grenada, are we just going to start off by saying Grenada is the best option?
Yes, Mark, but I'm not just saying Grenada is the best option just because I like the sun and whatever. There are reasons. And we really have a wonderful guest today who's going to explain a lot of the reasons as to why Grenada is the best CBI option.
That's right, Mona. Today we have Mohammed Azaria. Mohammed is a board member and managing director of Range Developments, an international luxury hospitality development company that develops luxury resorts in the Eastern Caribbean under citizenship by investment programs. Born and raised in England, Mohammed has a dual background in law and investment banking. He began his career at an international law firm, then transitioned to HSBC prior to founding Range Developments, with focus on ultra-luxury high-end resorts. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Hi, Mohammed. Do you know this is the first time I've heard your bio, and I didn't even know that you were also born and raised in the UK.
We moved to the United Kingdom in 1972, or my family did, after the Asian exodus from Uganda. So this whole citizenship by investment topic is very, very topical, not just from a business perspective, but a personal one as well.
So, Mohammed, as you know, from interest into your project, E-2 visas, or rather people filing for CBI and to get an E-2 visa, has just jumped, especially here in the United States, where we are seeing people from backlog countries like India and China, as well as people from countries where they just don't have the income to be able to come up with the now minimum amount of 900, all jumping into the Grenada option.
Okay, so yes, Mona, that's absolutely correct. I mean, we started our project in Grenada. It was about April of last year. And you know, ever since the middle of the year when the changes to EB-5 were announced, we saw a significant increase in interest from 6 or 7 countries around the world, certain countries in Latin America, China, India, Vietnam, South Africa, Nigeria, Russia. And these are countries where EB-5 has traditionally been the most popular route into the United States. And the sort of inquiries we're getting have been focused on looking at Grenada to acquire a treaty citizenship, and then look at the E-2 option thereafter, either in a short or medium term plan.
Well, there are many advantages to choosing Grenada, and I thought that we would cover quite a few of those today. But before I do that, let me ask a little bit about what your property is, the size of it, and Can any property that somebody buys in Grenada allow them to have obtained citizenship?
So, Mona, the citizenship by investment scheme in Grenada has been going for about 2 decades. And really, the whole purpose of this program is to create economic prosperity, create long-term direct and indirect economic benefit to reduce unemployment and really propel Grenada and its key industries. And the key focus industry for the government at present is tourism. So for a project to be approved as a citizenship by investment approved project, and for investors in that project to benefit under the citizenship by investment program, the project needs to go through a vigorous approval process. And one of the key things, it has to be in one of these key industries. One of the key industries of choice in Grenada is tourism. So it's not just any piece of real estate or any investment you make in Grenada. It has to be in a specific approved project by the government.
And right now, how many approved projects are there?
You see, there's two levels of approved projects, or there's two categories of approved projects under the citizenship by investment scheme. Maybe there's half a dozen or a couple more, and there's two price points. One is 220,000 of minimum investment, and one is the 350,000 minimum investment. And the government has rightly bifurcated the two buckets between those developers or promoters who inject a minimum of 20% equity into their project, can qualify and secure investors at the lower price point because that project has a lower risk. After all, the developer or promoter is firmly committed to its project. In the event that this financial threshold has not been met, the latter 350,000 price point applies. So, you know, Range is an established developer across the Eastern Caribbean. As Mark mentioned, we've been developing since 2012. We've opened the Park Hyatt in St. Kitts in 2017, which incidentally was named as by CNN as the best new hotel in the Caribbean. It featured on Condé Nast's top 100 hotels in its debut year. We've just opened the Kempinski in Dominica 3 to 4 months back with similar rave reviews. So, you know, we're an established developer, a well-capitalized developer who is there to support our projects. And as such, we've been granted the concession to obtain investors at the 220,000 price point.
Mohammed, let me ask you a question. It seems like maybe the investment amount and the risk assessment, at least from an investor standpoint, maybe backwards. So it sounds like if a developer has invested at least 20% of their own money or own capital, the investment that they can seek from investors is then reduced to 220,000. So wouldn't that risk also be lower for the investor as well?
Correct. So the risk is definitely lower for the investor because on twofold, one, they're investing a lower amount and benefiting from citizenship. And secondly, they know that promoter is totally committed to its project because, you know, if you look at our project value, it's in the range of $120 million. So we're significantly committed and vested in this project to ensure timely completion.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's strange to me why there would be that $350,000 option. Or maybe I could see why it's there, but why investors would choose that higher amount and knowing that developers haven't really put that much in.
At the end of the day, certain projects may be in a certain area which an investor might like. You can have emotional investments when you're on the island.
I like that, emotional investments. But the big question, which you know I'm going to ask you, is that you can also obtain citizenship via donation. Why would somebody spend more and have citizenship via a designated real estate project as opposed to just donation?
Yeah, and Mona, that's a very valid point. And a significant number of people do investment or obtain citizenship by donation, which is referred to as Section 10 route in Grenada. However, with a real estate investment, you have to look at the delta between the donation or the contribution amount and the additional amount required to obtain citizenship. So if you're comparing like for like on a family of four, to go down the real estate investment route is an additional $70,000, comparing apples to apples. So in essence, you're asking an investor to pay an additional $70,000 to obtain an asset which has a face value of $220,000. Now, to me, that sounds like a great deal, especially when you consider that that investment may be resold after 5 years the original investor maintains his citizenship. The new purchaser, the new investor after 5 years, can also obtain citizenship. So there is a very clear exit option, which allows an investor to exit. And if he exited anything more than $70,000, he's in the money, because no one really woke up this morning just focused on making an investment in Grenada. They focused on making the most cost-effective investment in Grenada, which is leading to citizenship by investment. And when you look at the value, the cost benefits of the two options, real estate comes out on top.
Well, you are speaking from a very business point of view, which of course is expected. I would perhaps look at it slightly differently. For me, we always encourage our clients to go for the real estate option rather than donation, because it is better for the E2 visa. You do actually have more ties to the country. And when you go to renew your passport, if you have to show residency, whatever, it's a stronger nexus.
Absolutely right.
There are other reasons why we have also asked you to come on the show, Mohammed. One of them is the fact that we do think that Grenada is one of the best of the CBI options for more than one reason. And I'd love for you to discuss some of these reasons with us. For example, the length of an E2 visa. What is the typical length of an E2 visa if you've had Grenada citizenship?
So, Mona, if you look at the E2 treaty which Grenada has with the United States, and Mona, I'm not sure if you're aware of the origins of this treaty.
No, I'm not.
Grenada was invaded by the United States in 1983. I believe Ronald Reagan had sent some warships which were heading towards Lebanon, and he asked them to turn around because of Grenada's links with Russia and Cuba. And there was a very short invasion of the state of Grenada in 1983. And as part of the reparations of war, Grenada was awarded the E2 treaty with the United States, this bilateral treaty, which you mentioned in the introduction.
That makes sense. That's why it's the only Caribbean country which does actually have the bilateral treaty.
Correct. So it went through a period of strife, and now it's a very close ally to the United States, and hence why it was awarded and has maintained this bilateral investment treaty with the United States. And from what my understanding is, Mona, is the E2 treaty that Grenada has is the most flexible. It's a 5-year multiple renewable E2 treaty can be awarded to its citizens.
And that's very good, because there's not too many countries which has the 5 years.
Let me jump in, because that's a shocker for me. So the first E2 visa length is 5 years, not like 1 year, like in some other instances?
No, it's 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
What's the typical processing time for the passport?
So, Mona, the government have really strived to improve efficiency without affecting the due diligence processes, because the integrity of the Grenada Citizenship by Investment Unit is really of paramount importance to the government. They're not willing to compromise that in any way, shape, or form. So recently, there's been a change of personnel in the unit. A gentleman by the name of Percival Cloudon has been appointed as the new chief executive, and there's been a new board appointed. And we've seen massive improvements in processing time. And 3 to 4 months is the average length of time it's now taking for a citizenship application to be adjudicated upon.
Wow, that is fast.
Well, it's fast. However, yet the stringent processes are being able to be applied in that time frame.
One of the other points that I do like about Grenada is I look at the stability of the program. And as I've mentioned earlier, Moldova was one country which was recently suspended. Mm-hmm. And that program, I believe, began only in 2018. And it's already suspended. Turkey, another CBI program, revised its program in 2018. And it's only really started issuing passports the last 8 or 9 months. And as you mentioned, Grenadian processing has been carrying on over, 20 years? So it's certainly stable.
Correct. And also, it's not only just the citizenship program in Grenada which is stable. It's the political environment. So you mentioned a couple of countries in your preceding statement. Grenada, out of all of them, has stable democracy. The Queen is head of state. It's a member of the Commonwealth. The Privy Council is the final court of adjudication. So investors look at all of these when making the decision as to which country they wish to start calling home and selecting a citizenship option. Another great thing about Grenada is the currency peg. It's been pegged at 2.8 for the last 3 decades. So it's a fantastically stable currency, which is very important in this day and age.
Yes, and it also has St. George's Medical School.
Correct, and everyone knows a doctor who graduated from St. George's.
I was about to say, I know somebody who went to that med school.
And you know, that's not just in the United States, that's all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
In every hospital, you will find someone invariably who came out of St. George's. What a great brand name.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. One of the questions, though, which we get asked all the time is how much presence is required in the country?
So to obtain citizenship of Grenada, there is no need to either reside or visit in the island of Grenada. The government of Grenada or the Citizenship by Investment Unit of Grenada want to get to know you through the due diligence process. So they ask for all your financial history, the source of access, due diligence check. There's no actual requirement to visit or reside in the island.
So you can maintain 5 years of citizenship without even having stepped foot in Grenada once.
That's absolutely correct. However, that investor will be very disappointed in that case because his new home is such a beautiful place and everyone would highly recommend him to visit what is called as the Spice Island of the Caribbean. And if he's invested in our project, given he has a number of complimentary nights every year, he would be well advised to take this up because we are developing the Six Senses Resort and Spa, which Travel and Leisure did put as the world's best hotel brand for the last 3 consecutive years.
That sounds wonderful. Maybe they could, you know, donate some of those comp nights to me. That would be great.
Yeah. And, you know, Mark, what else is better as part of our investment program? During construction of the hotel in Grenada, each investor gets a number of complimentary nights at one of our other Caribbean hotels. Mm-hmm. So they can spend a week, 1 year in St. Kitts at the Park Hyatt and another week at the Kempinski in Dominica whilst they eagerly await the opening of the Six Senses in 2022.
Oh, wow. This is really bumming me out considering it's the middle of winter here in the U.S.
Well, next time we should be filming this in Grenada.
There we go.
I think I would all love that. Mm-hmm. How many people can join in on the investment, Mohammed? Is it a full family or is it a single investor?
So, Mona, it's really up to the investor. I mean, Grenada is quite flexible in that, and its definition of dependence in an application can include elderly parents, or in fact, there's actually no age limit on parents. Even if they're below 55, they're welcome to be added. Children up to the age of 30, grandchildren can also be added. And uniquely to Grenada, the dependency runs horizontally. So brothers and sisters, providing they are over 18, unmarried and with no children, can also be added to an application. So Grenada provides a significant level of flexibility. It's really been designed, and these changes came into effect in early 2019. They've really been designed with the target, the investor target markets in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I often make this joke whenever I'm overseas and people are asking about the EB-5 visa. And I say, this is not a visa you can bring your mother-in-law on. And I always get a smile. So Grenada is a visa you can bring your mother-in-law.
So that's one strike against it.
Both mother-in-laws, on both sides.
But has the visa-free travel increased? I remember that it was, 135 countries at one point?
Correct. So maybe it's, you know, somewhere between 135 and 140. But if you look at Grenada's map of visa-free travel, it has some pretty important countries on there. So you have the United Kingdom, you have Schengen, you have Russia, you have China. And in fact, Grenada is unique in the citizenship countries by having visa-free access to China. In addition to that, you have visa-free access to most of Latin America as well, and significant parts of Southeast Asia.
You're right about the uniqueness, because even with a British passport and an American passport, I still have to get a visa for China.
Well, it seems like you need a Grenadian passport then, Mona. But I mean, but jokes aside, countries will boast that they can go to 150, 145. These are other small islands. But if you look at the utility value of the travel that a Grenadian citizenship provides, it is significantly more desirable than a number of other states which offer such citizenship by investment programs.
Yeah, one of the things I do like about the Grenada citizenship, though, or the application of it, is that unlike others, there's no requirement that if you're claiming the E2 visa for an E2 visa, there's no requirement that the E2 visa applicant apply for the E2 visa at the U.S. consulate with the jurisdiction of the country of their new passport. Rather, they can really apply anywhere or at any country of their citizenship, which is quite unique, again, to this particular passport.
No, absolutely right. Grenada, I mean, that's one of the benefits which Grenada offers most certainly. And, you know, I think as we touch upon the E2, from what I understand, last year, there were in excess of 40,000 E2 visas issued on a global basis. So it's a very popular and established route in the United States. And, you know, you will know more about the origins of the E2 treaty than me, but I believe it all started in 1811 when England tried to recolonize unsuccessfully the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yes, England is the oldest E2.
Correct. So it's a very established route into the United States. And when we're having discussions with investors, they're particularly drawn to the E2 because it's an efficient process, an expeditious application process at a consul of their choice. There's family benefits and that the spouse can also join them in the United States and he or she can work outside the investment in which the main applicant has made.
There's tax benefits.
Yes, in terms of the tax benefits, if you're not in the United States for 122 days, you're not taxed on your worldwide income, just on your U.S. sourced income, which, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're living in an emerging market and you're unable to leave that market, you can't leave your business in other people's hands. However, your family wish to reside in the United States, it provides a very neat way to structure your affairs in a tax-efficient manner.
Yes, we have a client who has been in the United States on an E2 visa for more than 23 years. That just shows they didn't ever want to change.
No, fantastic.
Mahmud, one quick question. We all were sort of bombarded with all the publicity from the hurricanes, which we've had for the last couple of years. I do believe Grenada is below the hurricane belt.
Correct. Those hurricanes were very devastating and they affected a number of islands in the Eastern Caribbean. Grenada was fortunately spared. It's one of the most southern islands in the Eastern Caribbean and has much reduced hurricane activity compared to some of the other islands, and is frequently classified as being below the hurricane belt.
Yes, that's very important when a person is putting investment down on real estate.
Absolutely right. And notwithstanding that, we still build to the highest international standards. So our developments are built to withstand Category 5 hurricanes certified by Miami-Dade standards. So, you know, notwithstanding its favorable geographic location, we still make sure that our build quality is institutional and factors in all these unfortunate natural disasters which may occur.
Well, it certainly sounds like Grenada has the most to offer for investors that are looking for various CBI options. And Mohammed, I appreciate you coming on EB5 Investment Voice and explaining to us some of the benefits of this program.
Thank you for the invitation. And, you know, I look forward to welcoming Mona and yourself to Grenada and we can do the next one sitting on the Six Senses Beach.
Ooh, Mohammed, I am there.
That sounds wonderful.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw and Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshahlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.